areas that we want to look at today that we can worship the Lord with your time, which I think has effect on all the other ways that you worship God, is through your time. Because how many knows, we all have 24 hours a day. That's all we have. And so to get that right is very important. Last night, one of the ladies up that was singing, she said, how many have a devotion time for God in a daily Bible reading? She said, let me tell you, it's very important that you do that. And she had two little kids, and I thought it was fruit in her life. One of them was 11 years old, Jonathan, and he stood there just nonchalantly and just, I mean, ate that banjo alive, just, you know, just playing just like nothing had happened. And their 16-year-old was there with the fiddle and the mandolin, just, you know, tearing it up. But they worship the Lord with their music. So the second thing is your talent. You worship Him with your time, you worship Him with your talent, and then you worship Him with your treasure. And I want to look at those three today through Abraham. Everybody got your Bible and ready to learn today? This is my Bible. Boy, that was weak. You guys tired as a summer blouse or what? Come on now. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. Turn all cell phones off unless you're expecting a call from Jesus, please. For all you that helped us pray, we got a good report. My son is coming. He and his family boarded the plane from Spain, and they'll be here in Memphis, Tennessee at 3:45 today. So thank you for praying. They've had some trouble coming from Spain, so we appreciate your prayers for my children. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. I mean, you know, sometimes when we go through trials and tests, it's not Satan, it's not us, sometimes it's God. See, we don't like to think about that, but sometimes we just walk by faith. I remember an early time in my ministry where, I love walking by faith, but how many just loves what you feel as you walk by faith? The presence and the anointing of God and the, I don't know how to explain it, but just the overwhelming presence of God and the assurance that you know where you're headed and where you're going. And so early in my ministry, I remember walking by faith and just feeling the presence of God and so clear direction. And there was about a 3-month span after I'd served God for a while and began to learn His voice and know what He wanted for my life that I didn't feel the anointing. I felt dry. I still had my disciplines. And that's the key is, you know, when we're talking about worship in our time, that's what worship is really. It's about emptying yourself out, to depress or to prostrate yourself before God, to empty yourself out. That's what worship is. And so when you're not feeling anything, but you still get up and you still read the Word, that's a sacrifice to God. And there's two words I want you to write down today. When we're talking about worshiping God with our time and our talent and our treasure, there's two words I want you to write. The first one is sacrifice. You know, we sing the old song, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And maybe for some of you it was a sacrifice. Summer in her role when she came this morning, you notice she had all the kids today. And when you're getting, Michael's working today, and so when you've got 6 children, of course I brought 3 of them with me this morning, and we always, that's our ritual, we always have a donut. It's Donut Sunday. And so that I want it to make fun. I want my grandchildren to know that there's association, there's blessing along with the giving and the worshiping. And so we always go get a donut, and they can eat it all they want. One of them ate 5 this morning, one of them ate 3, and one of them ate 1. They just know if you get it, you eat it. But we have fun. And so, but worshiping, when you come in and it's been a stressful week and you don't feel like coming and you don't feel like going to church and you don't feel like raising your hands or singing about Jesus, that's a sacrifice of praise. That's a real sacrifice of praise. Maybe when you have a need and you give yourself away to someone else, you know, that's a sacrifice of praise. That's how we worship in a sacrificial way. And I believe that God rewards that very heavily. I mean, He blesses that. Whenever it's a sacrifice for us, it's very difficult for us. We're going through a difficult situation, but we're in our place. You know, how many knows that keeping the Sabbath holy is a commandment? It's not a request. That's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so when you come and it's hard, that's a greater form of worship because you didn't feel like being here. Maybe you're mad at someone, or maybe something's going on in your life and you're saying, well, God's not doing anything about it. Well, you know, just be faithful because He is doing something about it. And He'll lead you down to what He's going to do somewhere along the way. You'll figure that out. Okay, it's sacrifice. And then the second word's obedience. David said it this way. He said, Samuel, he said, it's obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, knows you can sacrifice and it still not be in the will of God. You know, you might give a sacrificial gift that's out of the will of God. It may not even be God's will. So you can sacrifice and not be in God's will. But if you're obedient unto the Lord with your time, your talent, and your treasure, that's worship. You know, when you're emptying yourself and your will out. We was having Bible study Wednesday night, and I think it was Delisa was talking about. We was talking about the difference between a servant. One person said, "Well, I think he'd be a servant, not a slave of Christ." But we come to the conclusion. You know what? When we're really serving Christ, we're dead. We're bought with a price, and so to become a slave of Christ is really what we're talking about. Because they said, you know, it's the will of the owner, not the will of the person. And so to become a slave of Christ, to empty yourself out. And in all this emptying, here's what I want you to get this morning. When Abraham empties himself out, that's when he receives blessing, when he gave his best. Let's look at the scripture. So he tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am, verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him, there's a burnt offering, on the one mountains of which I will tell you. Now you talk about treasure. You know, we think about our treasures, our stuff, our money, or monetary. But how many knows your kids are your greatest treasure? If you're a parent, that's your greatest treasure, isn't it? Addie came in this morning and she says, oh, Papa, you know, my grandkid, and boy, we just loved on each other, and you know, that's your greatest treasure is those moments when you build relationships with your kids and your grandkids. And this is his greatest treasure. I mean, he's waited for 100 years for this little fella. Some of you had to wait a long time, but he waited 100 years. And not only that, but he's got to think about Sarah, talking about giving your treasure. This is Sarah that, remember, all she's been through to see the birth of Isaac. And all of a sudden now God's saying, I want him back. And I want you to take his life. Can you imagine what an obedient act that is, and what a sacrifice that would be? To give not only a child, but your only child. And a miracle child at that. I often think that Abraham never mentioned this to Sarah. Because it doesn't mention anything about Sarah knowing. And I just know the makeup of you ladies. I don't care how old you are and how obedient you are. If one morning your husband got up and said, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go sacrifice Junior to the Lord. I think I got a word from God. How many knows they've got a problem on their hands? And they'd be just like a mama bear in between them and their cubs, you know. And so he doesn't mention any. In fact, Isaac doesn't even know. We'll see here in a minute. No one knows, but Abraham knows. And can you imagine the burden? But he's headed in that direction. And the ultimate everything is going to be blessings from God that's poured out on him, and not only him, but on his children. You want to bless your children? Give a sacrificial, obedient worship to the Lord. And watch him just saturate you in blessing. And not only that, but he'll do your children in the next generations to come. See, we think it's about building wealth and things. No, it's not. It's about being obedient and sacrificing to the Lord in worship. Just emptying ourselves out and saying, I don't know what is on my agenda today till I ask the Lord. Now, we all got to go to work and do those sort of things. But to say, today, my life, I pour it out in worship to him. And I know as I pour my life out to him. And by the way, when we're on our job and we're there as a worship to him, we're going to look for different things. When you're going in the flesh, in the self, you're going to look for what you can get. Are you with me? You know, I want my paycheck, I want raise, I want vacation, I want, you know, I want. But when we're going and doing what we do, whatever your occupation is, when we're going and we can give that as an act of worship. That's a part of your talent, by the way. Whatever you're gifted to do is probably why you're doing what you're doing. And it brings home a paycheck, but if you do it as a worship, a sacrifice of an obedience to the Lord, you'll see different things on your journey. How many knows that Abraham wasn't a priest or a preacher? How many knows what he was? He was a rancher. When God wanted to have a man that he could anoint and bless, he chose Abraham because he knew how to empty himself out and be obedient. Any man that will take his only son after 100 years and march boldly up to the mountain to sacrifice him, that's obedience. That's sacrifice. And so that's the kind of heart it takes if you want to be in the blessings and of overflow to the Lord. You know, we think about if I sacrifice my time, I'm going to lose time and I won't have as much fun, I won't have as much this or much that. You know, God has put it all together for you and I. In fact, I thought about this the other day. It's kind of comical when I saw this, but I thought, you know, when we talk about sacrificing and giving and worshiping God, I mean, Jesus literally worshiped the Lord with his body as he poured himself out on the cross. But here's what was funny about what I noticed. For the first time ever, as I was studying the Word, Jesus not only poured himself out in worship when he went to the cross, he also worshiped the Lord in rest in his body. In fact, some of you would do that today when you leave here. Donnie already knows where I'm going. Remember when they were in the boat and they were headed across the sea, and the Bible says that there was a big storm came and the disciples thought the boat was going to sink. Guess where Jesus was? He was asleep. And so did you know, if we're following the example of Jesus, naps are biblical? How many is this going to be biblical this afternoon? Oh yeah, look at all the holy people throughout the congregation. I thought about that. I thought, you know, he was our example. And here he had a chance to catch a nap. And he was evidently catching a really good nap because the boat is about to be broken to pieces. And they have to go wake him up to rebuke the storm. But I thought, he didn't do anything, did he? He said, outside the Father's will. And so all of you that's been griping about your spouses or kids or whoever sleeping on Sunday, oh, that's holy. That's biblical. Yeah. Now, not in excess, but I thought, isn't that cool? Because he is our example. And we catch a glimpse of, I'm just glad he showed us. Jesus was taking a nap. So it's okay if you want to take a nap. Friday I turned 53. I might start taking naps just to be more biblical. Somebody tell Jana, would you show that? She's not in here. Verse 4, the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a place far off. The third day. Is that worshiping God with your time? He's got a huge cattle ranch or sheep ranch or camel ranch. He's got all kinds of animals to run. But here he is, his third day on a journey to sacrifice his son. He's worshiping God with his time because God said, take a time out. I've got something I want you to give to me. I want you to give your best to me. And so for 3 days he's traveling. Not because he wants to, not because it's something he's excited about, but it's something that I think is one thing significant. How many remembers 3 days when Jesus was sacrificed? It's kind of opposite on where he at, but there's three. I think that's significant. It's 3 days. and then the sacrifice. Well, Jesus is the sacrifice in 3 days in life. And so at the end of those 3 days, when he pulls the sword up or the knife and he's going to plunge it through his son's heart, that's when he found life, wasn't it? That's when he found blessing. And so at the end of his 3 days, he found life. And he found blessing. What is it maybe that God said, I want you to sacrifice? What do you have a hold of that God says, I would like to have that, if you please? Huh? That you've got a hold of. Maybe it's a grudge. And you say, I'm not turning this loose. I'm not forgiving. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a little savings account that God has told you to give to missions and you just want to hang on to it. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's a spending habit that God said, you need to sacrifice that to me and I'll bless you. You need to quit, you know. What is it that God said to you? You need to sacrifice. Maybe it's stress. Anybody hanging on to stress in the building? He's saying, you need to turn that over to me. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I, my son, my only son, and I will go yonder and what? Worship. We're going to go worship. That's what he called giving his best, his treasure to God. He called it worship. We're going to go worship. And then he said, and we will come back to you. So he's walking in faith. But he's walking in obedience. So Abraham, and by the way, listen, when God is asking Abraham to give up his son, did you notice he said, we will come back? I believe Abraham knew something we need to know, and that is when God asks something from you, you can just bet it's going to come back. You're not losing it. You're placing it in the hands of God, and when God blesses what you place in his hand, it's going to come back more than you ever suspected. There was somebody up at the camp the other day talking about a nurse, a young lady that still lives with her parents. She's been a nurse for several years. And she lives off like a third or a quarter of her income and supports, I think they said, 7 missionaries. That is sacrifice and obedience with your treasure. I thought, it's just amazing. And I was so impressed that somebody would think, most of my salary is going to go for missionaries to the spreading of the Word of God. I think those will be the ones when we look in heaven and there's this huge mansion on the hill that they've emptied themselves out. It takes a special person. We will come back. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and the lad laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, and this must have been such a touching moment. My father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the burnt offering? His son just figured out, look, we don't have an offering, and where's it at? And I love Abraham's answer to his son. Abraham said in verse 8, my son, God will provide. Did you say that with me? God will provide. He said that God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I can't imagine that. But they went to worship. Under obedience and under sacrifice. Then the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. What was the thing he went to do? Worship. Because you have done this thing, you went to worship, and have not withheld your treasure, your son, your only son. He says, here's what he's doing. Here's what worship. Here's the fruit of worship. You don't know why it's important to worship? Blessings, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You've worshipped with your best. God has called us to worship Him with our time. How do you worship God with your time? Well, you get up in the morning and it's about God. Now, some of you people say, well, I'm not a morning person. How many says if in the morning you got up and you got a phone call and said, and it was real early, maybe they woke you up real early. You know, I got a call at 4:15 this morning. My son says, Dad, we got a flight. We're coming home. That's 4:15. I don't get up at 4:15 on Sunday morning or any morning. But I was happy. That was my son. He's coming home. So for you that say, I'm not a morning person, I say this to you. You probably don't have something you really want to get up to in the morning. What if Jesus called you and said, I'd like to have an appointment with you at 6 o'clock in the morning? Would you be happy? How many would say, oh, Jesus, it's so good to hear from you. Can we make it 7:30? How many would say, I wouldn't say that. I would say, yes. How many knows when we get up in the morning, Jesus does want to have an appointment? That's my first appointment of the morning, is with Jesus. It's just a routine I've developed. Before I ever get out of bed, I'll start praying, because I don't have anything else on my mind. Because when I get up, my mind starts turning. It just, and yours starts turning, because you got work and you got kids and you got this and you got that and all these things. And so to worship God with your time. And if you're not a morning person, then pick a part of the day that's the best part of the day for you, and just spend some time with Jesus. That's worship. That's what worship is. It's emptying yourself out. It's saying, God, this is your time. You know, some of you ladies, if you got kids and things, make a time where you take a bubble bath with Jesus. Just go get away. You know what I'm saying? Just go get away and make that your time with Jesus. You know, you guys, if you got a recliner or some comfortable place, not too comfortable, but go get away with Jesus. That's worshiping God with your time. When you do something for someone else, when you mow somebody else's lawn because they're sick or because they're elderly, that's worshiping God with your time. And it's also worshiping God with your talent when you do something like that. How many knows? Everybody in this room's got a talent. I was looking in our bulletin today, and you talk about worshiping God with your talent. We got a preaching team, number one. There's Adam Dilley and Eric and Helen Crane and Thelma and Donna Fabrizio and you know, all these preachers in there. Now, they're not all pastors, but they teach a class or they're teaching something. Kathy Day, she's teaching first place. You know, they're teaching something. They're imparting something for the good of Christ. But you go on down the list and look at all the workers in the bulletin, the Ground Zero workers, different functions, the children's church and junior church. You know, my wife's not an ordained teacher or call teacher, but she's working with the junior children's church and has been. And you know what her whole thrust is? She says, I want these kids to know that they have a friend in Jesus. And that's what she tries to teach them every Sunday. That's her vision. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And then you've gone down and you got Wednesday night and there's Judy McGarry. Well, Judy McGarry, as far as I know, has never preached a sermon. Now, she is a good communicator. She's took Toastmasters and all, and so she's a good communicator. And Jan and Dorothy, and they have all kinds of different setups here and different calling. But you know what they're doing? They're worshiping God with what they have. That's the thing that every person on the bulletin has in common. They're worshiping God with their talents. Marlene Hunt has just joined us, and she's going to join us next Sunday in membership. She just moved here from Woodward and tied up all the loose ends in Woodward and took care of all that business. And she told me this morning, I'm moving my membership here, and I am a greeter. That's what God has called me to do. And so every morning you'll see her now until Jesus comes, or she can't come on Sunday morning. And she's excited about using her talent for Jesus. And she comes in with joy on her face because she gets up on Sunday morning and she says, I've got purpose and I've got a plan, and God's included me, and I get to go put on the face of God for prayer of faith, and I get to greet people and show them the love and the joy of Jesus Christ. Wow. And she cheered me up this morning when she greeted me. And then if that's not enough, she said, oh yes, and I've got another talent. I can cook good banana nut bread. And so she bakes banana nut bread for our visitors. Today you'll get banana nut bread. Compliments of Jesus and Marlene if you're visiting our church. I'd come back for more of that. She's worshiping God. And you know what, Marlene? I don't know when you cook the bread, but whenever you head toward the cabinet, and before you get to the ingredients, that's worship to the Lord. And she begins to take every ingredient and mix it together. That's worship to the Lord, because she's given her time and her talent and part of her treasure to Jesus Christ. And here's what's so exciting about it. By doing that, Marlene's reward will be great as Billy Graham's. Because he's not called her to preach evangelism through the pulpit, but he's called her to preach evangelism through being face to face with new people that come into the house of God. You know what? And here's something I'll brag on the church. She said, you know what? When I come in this church, I've been to churches before, nobody even greet me. She said, when I come to Prayer of Faith, a lot of people come up and greet me and say, welcome to Prayer of Faith. Give me a hug, a smile. See, that's what brought her back. And she said on her card, she had a very friendly church or some kind of remark she made. And then she said, told me this morning, she said, as we were talking, she said, I knew the first time I ever came here, if I ever moved down here, this is going to be my church. It's a friendly church. And so we showed ourselves friendly. We planted that. And guess who showed up? Miss Friendly. Whatever you sow, that you also reap. Hallelujah. How old are you, Marlene? 80. Oh, I thought you were in your 70s. You're welcome. You don't look 80 either. What's your excuse? We got an 80-year-old that's getting up every Sunday and come and stand at the door early to greet people that come in for the kingdom of God and making them bread as a blessing to them. What's your excuse? I'm too tired. This is what I found out. If you reap whining, you reap whining. You got a whiny attitude, and you get a whiny disposition. Is this on? Did they hear that? If you reap. But at 80, if you say, I'm a greeter. Can I be a greeter at your church? That's what God's ordained me to do. I'm called and anointed and I'm set. You know, and she comes in and she just knows her part. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's beautiful. Amen. She's saying, I'm too old, I'm too wore out, I'm too this, I'm too... She just comes and she just does her part. Last night we were at the singing, 83! 83 years old! She almost fell over from dancing. She was up there dancing. Boom, and fell back in her chair. Dancing for the Lord. And all of them out on the front row at our singing last night. And this is a little embarrassing to her, but I thought, you go, girl. You just worship God with all of your energy. That's exciting to me, to see people that says, I'm not here to whine, I'm here to worship. And as I worship, God's going to bless me. And so she's still singing and still dancing before the Lord and still doing dramas at 83. Huh? Mostly comedies. It's all right. Cheer us up. Transportation, Jim Murray. You got a driver's license? You can serve Jesus. In fact, if you'll drive, we might even let you drive without a license if you want to. That's called grace, right? No, no, we won't do that. Okay. Music team, can you sing? Sing? I heard Linda, I stood behind her and I heard her singing this morning to the Lord. She's got a good voice. Singing to Jesus. So you can, how many knows you can sing for the Lord? You don't have to be up on stage. I just sang right from where I am. That's a, you know, give what you have. And some of you that can't hardly carry a tune, just don't sing too loud. Jesus can hear you. Well, the first time I ever went to a Pentecostal church, you know, I grew up in a missionary Baptist church, and so the first time I ever went to a Pentecostal church, I thought this. The preacher said, let us pray. And everybody in the church was praying out loud. And I thought, good Lord, how can he understand all this? I was a young junior high kid, and really what got me in church was a good-looking girl, and I don't remember who it was, but she was, I just remember, I thought she was pretty, and so I went to church with her. But I can remember that saying, how can he understand all that? But listen, he can understand everybody because he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. So if you can't sing good and you love to sing, just sing anyway. Sing anyway. Give what you have to the Lord. Because your mind is going to think something. It's going to either whine or it's going to worship. You know, there's not much in between. You know, if people ask you, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. That's whining. You know, that's not, you know. How you doing? I'm blessed. I like Dave Ramsey better than I deserve. You know. Get you a phrase that'll fit who you are and fit the kingdom and fit what God has given us and blessed us with. Abraham's going to give his best and he's going to give a sacrifice of praise to the Lord through his best. He's blessed. I think it was Mark sent me a story on the email the other day. Said this widow lady, she'd go out every morning and she'd give a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Said, praise the Lord! Out in the open. And so the atheist moved in beside her and he heard this and it aggravated him. How many knows when we're praising God, it aggravates people? It stresses the devil. And she went out every morning, she'd say, praise the Lord! And said the atheist finally started yelling. Every time she'd say, praise the Lord, he'd say, there is no God! So one morning, they said the snow was deep and out in the winter day, and she came out and she lifted her hands and said, praise the Lord. Lord, I have no food. Please provide. And walked back in her house. And so the next day she came out. Sure enough, there was two bags of groceries out on her porch. And she said, praise the Lord. God has provided. And said the atheist jumped out of the bushes and said, God didn't provide. I provided that. She looked at that and she looked at him. She said, praise the Lord, and you use Satan to provide for me. Hallelujah. That's worship, isn't it? I still give God the glory. He's made provisions. See? She wasn't stressing, she wasn't whining, she was giving God glory. What do you have today? You got something that will fit in one of these? Worship God with your time or your talent, your treasure. Listen, everybody can pray. If we get one of the prayer guides, would you pray? Would you pray? Everybody can pray. Would you pray one of those? Our goal is to have 200 consistently by the end of 2010. And I've been talking to our leaders, I've been talking to other leaders outside and telling them what we're doing and what we're trying to do and accomplish and with our prayer walks and the things we got coming, feeding the poor and doing the rescue mission and helping feed the kids over here that literally every penny we send to them is life. It's life for them. It's not luxury, it's life. It's another bowl of those nutritious meals that they provide for them. You can do that. You can get involved in the community somewhere, helping somehow. Take your talent and use it for Jesus. I'm telling you, the stress just kind of falls by the wayside. Do you ever notice how exuberant and how joyful Donna Fabrizio was when we were heading up our last meeting down at the rescue mission? Did anybody notice that but me? My good Lord, girl, tone it down. You know? She was just, I didn't say that. I thought it was excellent. Because you were giving yourself away, pouring yourself out to someone else. And that's what it does when you go to the hospital or when you pray or when you give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And God said, here's the ultimate blessing. I'm going to bless you when you do. And I'm going to bless even those, your descendants and their descendants. It's a great day to serve the Lord. Let's worship Him. Let's empty ourselves out. And when we empty ourselves out, He fills us with Him. And it's not dependent on gas prices or your spouse or your children or anybody else. It's just you and Jesus. And He'll fill you with the joy and the peace and the overflowing that He has for you when you give yourself away in worship. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You today for challenging us, Lord, to just empty ourselves and worship You. You want to bless us beyond measure. God, teach us when we stress and when we focus on stress and we focus on lack and we focus on what's wrong and we focus on our situation and make that the focus of our day, that's sin. Because You said in Your Word, without faith it's impossible to please God. So give us new faith today. New faith that says, I know how I feel, I know what my circumstance says, but today is a day the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today I will empty myself of my will and my concerns, and I will seek the Father's will. And I will worship Him with praise and thanksgiving. I will lift Him up and glorify His name. Today I will radiate Jesus at work, at home, in my community, to my family, wherever I am. And I give myself as worship to my Master. And as I do, Lord, I realize that You will pour out blessing upon blessing. And You'll fill every void and every need I have. As I focus off my concerns and focus my powers and energies and thoughts and feelings upon the will of God, Lord, You will bless me and fill my heart with joy and peace and direction. And so, God, teach us how to be worshipers. You said those that worship must worship in spirit and truth. So, God, help us to take on Your Word and walk in faith. And help our spirits be lifted by You and focused on You so that You can fill us to the full in our everyday walk. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, if you'd lift your hand, I'd like to pray over you before we dismiss. Okay. Anyone else?